on the matter of funding, let's separate student programs from my salary, which is my wage and benefits. And I want to focus in on the student programs, because over my 20 years, and we all know that when the money belt gets tight, student programs are going to get slashed first. And when that happens, as I've said before, in my opinion, students are going to get shortchanged the necessary skills in order to move on and get a new job. I also agree with Ms. Rinderheim that this state has been more than willing to fund a public education. However, and I do agree with CAPS, I think they ought to be in place. State should not have a blank check for public education. But when a district does need to exceed that cap, there needs to be a referendum. Of course, those narrowly pass or they're rejected. The problem with that is it's the only alternative that I see out there for generating a little extra revenue to keep these programs maintained, to keep the school buildings maintained. I offer, as a candidate for state superintendent, my ideas again. Create an amendment to the Constitution so that toll booths are permitted along the borders. That very well may keep student programs intact. In addition, if the DNR can charge the non-resident a little bit more for hunting and fishing privileges, then why can't education benefit from the non-resident who owns vacation property up north or wherever it may be? Also, I have a vision, and it's a technological vision, and I thought of a sales tax on the non-resident. When I was on the internet the other day, I noticed the national average is somewhere between 6.5% and 8%. And my thought there was, geez, if you could somehow technologically get this situated, you could charge the non-resident a little bit more than the resident. The point, keep the burden off of the resident. I do not think we can handle any more increases in the property tax, because I'm telling you right now, I haven't seen an increase in my wage in 5 years because the benefits are...
Well, the reason I...